So we're in 2000, just in case, 2020, just in case y'all didn't know. 2020 isn't 2020. 2020 is like vision, perfect vision, 2020 is. Remember we talked about what the Lord was doing and how the wait is over, and then I used the example of Joshua where the Lord told him three times to be strong and courageous, which means he was happening. And I also told you that the reason I think the Lord said that was because every step of Joshua's life after that was into new territory, and so he was uncomfortable his whole life. And I think that's where God needs to get us to, where we're uncomfortable, because we get lazy and just kind of say, well, I'm a Christian, you know what I'm saying? So we did that, and then we talked last week about Moses, and remember the story about Moses, how as he held his hands up and Aaron and Hur helped him hold them up, they would win the battle, and as his hands dropped, they would start losing the battle, right? So what's so funny is now I'm kind of in this series that I had not planned of kind of like battles of the Lord. But here's one thing I want you to realize that I, for 100 years, didn't even think of it this way. But here's the truth, and you need to really hear what I'm saying. God has won every single battle that he's ever fought. Israel lost every single battle that they ever fought without him. You want to win a battle? Give it up. So today, last week we talked about Moses, and so this week there's another battle, and I'll keep doing battles till we're moving so forward that we're uncomfortable even more, because we need to be uncomfortable. I'm telling you right now, you need to be uncomfortable in the Lord or we'll get lazy. So this is what we're going to talk about, which we all probably know this story, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, what a great guy he is. He was one of the few good kings. The Bible's so good about telling us that they're good or bad in the beginning. They'd say, okay, so here's Ahaziah, and he was a bad king, but then here's a good king, and so we would always get to know that. So again, last week we talked about those hands of praise, because you're going to win the battle through praise. I'm just telling you right now. It's throughout the word that you're going to win the battle through praise. So let's just start the story. Here it comes in 2 Chronicles. For all of you that know 2 Chronicles by heart, congratulations. Here it is. It says, after this, the armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Menuhites declared war on Jehoshaphat. He was the king. And messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, there's a vast army from Edom. In fact, as you read through it, the word says they're like the sands of the seashores, so they're uncountable of this army. A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazazon Tamar. This is another name for En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat was terrified. Just get that in your system. There are things in our life that terrify us. You hear me? They really are. And here he was. He's terrified. Would you not be terrified if you knew that 49 miles from you, there was 100 thugs that were looking to kill you? I think you would be terrified. I would be terrified. But watch, there's more to this story. He was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. And Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord, and he prayed. Dot, dot, dot. We'll get there in a second. Here's what I want you to see. The normal king's response, the United States of America's president, the president of Canada, the prime minister of Canada, whatever it is, all leadership at all other countries, if there was a war that somebody had come up and said, they're going to go to war, what would have happened? Again, the enemy's only 49 miles away, so here we are. We've got, just say, Iran or somebody like that, or Afghanistan, and they are little out, almost from Temple to Dallas, and they're on their way here, right? So the enemy was only 49 miles away, so you'd think that he would summons his generals, right, for a war council, ordering the men to their battle stations, but that's not what he did. He prayed. How cool is that? He actually prayed. I didn't read the prayer on purpose, because what you need to understand is he prayed. Because what happens is we see someplace where in the Bible where someone prays, and then we just want to copy the prayer that they prayed. Jesus gave us the primest example, and it's so funny to me, because they're like, teach us to pray. So how did he say it? The Lord is my shepherd. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Sounds like an auction. But let me tell you something. Jesus gave instructions. They want to know how to pray, but he also told them to pray. So what we did was we took how we're supposed to pray, and we've just incorporated into our life our prayer. That's not prayer. That's not prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is when we're serious with God. Prayer is when we're terrified. Prayer is when we say, Father, don't know what's going on, but you got to help me. That's prayer, and that's the prayers that he hears. He does not hear people quoting scripture to him. He knows scripture. Thank you very much. You hear what I'm saying? So if we get serious about who God is, then we're going to really pray. And really pray means we really get honest with him and we really go before him in anger or in doubt or in whatever. I've talked with God when I'm angry. I've had people rebuke me for it. And I'm like, well, you can rebuke me all I want. He knew I was angry, so what's the deal? Exactly. You get what I'm saying? So man, this is all in me today. So, again, what's important is what he prayed. But now watch this. When's the last time praying was the first thing that we did in crisis? In all honesty, don't we tend to use prayer as a last resort? I've shared stories with you over the years. I did that. I won't put her in it. I've done that a lot. Just, oh my God, has it come to that? I can't fix it myself. I better pray. Here's what happens. We try to fix it. We try to control it. We try to buy it. Yep. Or we even try to love them through it. Yep. I've done that with my own family and my own children when they weren't doing what I felt like they should be doing. I'm just love them through it. No, sir, not no more. I pray. And when I pray, I'm specific in my prayer. And I told you last week, I got a prayer shawl, Mom. Y'all think I was crazy if you heard me in my office praying. Because I'm wrapped up in a prayer shawl and I'm praying because it's legitimate. What I mean by legitimate, I'm serious about it. And so I say things like I'm just saying to you rather than get into the jargon of it. You get what I'm saying? Oh, my gracious Heavenly Father. Stop it. He don't hear that. Well, he hears it. And you know what? He loves us enough. He'll even listen sometimes. But I'm just telling you, be as honest with him as you are with other people. When you talk to each other. Don't go from that into this prayer mode. Talk to him the same way. Man, Father, that person really frustrated me, and I really do want to put a bullet in their head. Do you hear me, God? I'm serious. That's where I'm at, and he will break you. He will break you. Man, I'm already into next week's message in my brain, too, because there's just some really good stuff in next week's messages, but I ain't getting there. But anyway, so let me just stay right here so we can keep loving this new change of time. Don't you love our new service time and stuff? Man, I do. I really do. God's doing something really cool. So, again, we try to fix it. We try to control it. We try to buy it. And then we even try to love them through it. But watch this. It's in prayer when our circumstances change and the battle is won. Look at this. Here's a great scripture in Psalms. Love this scripture. Here's one you should memorize. Psalms 50:15. Then, this is God's speech. Then call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you'll give me glory. Amen. You'll never give God glory if you haven't really been rescued. But when I was a drug addict and I really came to know Jesus, man, I gave him glory. People come and, man, Steve, you changed. I've changed because of him, not me. I'm still that same piece of dirt that was made in the beginning. But, man, this God guy that loves me so much, I can't understand it. This guy, he's the one. He's the one that gets glory. And again, what the word glory means, raising up someone's reputation, making them higher and bigger than they have been in the past. That's what the word glory means. That's why people, I don't want to take his glory. Well, you're trying to take his glory if you're not wanting to take his glory. Anyway, sorry. I'll leave that totally alone. I'm going to stay right here. So here's what I want to do. I don't want to do the whole prayer, but I did want to look at the end of the prayer because the end of the prayer is really, really important. And here it is. So Jehoshaphat says, our God, won't you stop them? Have you not been there? Yes. Just whether that's the battle in the mind or the battle of someone who just hates your guts or maybe you hate their guts. You hear me? Won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do. But we're looking to you for help. There's a greatest prayer ever. Father, I can't fix this. I don't know what to do. So you got to help. You got to help me in my attitude. You got to help me in my finances. You got whatever it might be. God, I need your help because I ain't doing this too good. I ain't won a battle in my life without you. Get that in your heart, guys. God has won every bit in the Bible. Just in the Bible, just even in the Old Testament. Well, really, there's no fights in the New Testament because Jesus took care of it all. How cool is that? But you go in that Old Testament, every battle that he fought, he won. Every battle that Israel fought, they lost. Wow. That's just fresh to me. So, well, let me just stay right here. So he prayed, I'm powerless. Here's what happens. Let me tell you this. Saying I'm sorry doesn't erase the years of pain that the abuser has caused by saying I'm sorry. And if you're familiar with abuse, and we'll just go into spousal abuse, and it's male and female, by the way. You know, the male side's more out there, but there's female abuse too. And people go, why do you stay? Well, you know, he said, I'm sorry. Well, great. Sorry for the black eye. Sorry for the left black eye. Sorry for the broken arm. You get what I'm saying? So I'm sorry doesn't erase years of pain. I'll try harder doesn't work because we fall into the same hurtful patterns. Well, you know what? I'll try harder. Or this is one of my favorites because it's a child saying, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to doesn't repair the damage that our words have already said. I didn't mean to. My son was the greatest of this when he was a child. I didn't mean to. So, son, you didn't mean to take that golf club and hit that golf ball through the window. Well, no, Dad, I didn't mean to. But it was a golf club and a golf ball. I mean, in the golf ball, and it went through. But I didn't mean to. So just because I didn't mean to doesn't change the fact that there's consequences for it. You get it? So what I'm trying to help you with is here saying, I'm sorry, I'll try harder, I didn't mean to, or just empty words. But here's what Jehoshaphat prayed. He said, I don't know what to do. I'm powerless. So this end of his prayer is what turned crisis into conquest. Because he took it out of his own ability in his own hands, and he said, God, we can't do this. I want a dream so big in my heart. I want a dream so big that if God doesn't intervene, it'll fail. That's what I want in my life. I want something so dynamic that he's wanting to do in and through me that unless he intervenes, it will miserably fail. Because our victory, ladies and gentlemen, as you study the word, you're going to get this more and more. Our victory is in the Lord. It really is, but the cool thing is there is victory in there. Just get in there, right? So then God gives specific instructions on how this battle of all these hundreds of thousands of warriors are coming at him. Here's the instructions that he gave. Chronicles 20, 13, and 17. I keep forgetting to say the thing so people, when they listen online, they're like, where were you in Scripture? You didn't. There it is. 2 Chronicles 20, 13 to 17. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their whole family. This is so good. Stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Jehoshaphat had just said, we got to fast. He just prayed this prayer, and he said at the end, we're helpless. The little children got to hear that they're helpless. The teenagers got to hear they're helpless, though all teenagers don't think they're helpless at all. I get it. And the adults. So look at that. That's just beautiful. Verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there, and his name was Jehaziel. And he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. He was terrified. And God speaks to him and says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army that's fixing to hit you. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And I don't care how dumb of the mistakes that you have made in your life. The battle is not yours, it's God's. But you don't understand. I did this, this, and this, so I deserve this. No, you don't. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Turn to God. Ask for help, because you can't fix it. Now, we'll keep going here on this scripture. This is good. You know, is that right or no? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Tomorrow, this is still the prophetic word that's coming forth for this Israel. Tomorrow, I want you to march out against them. And you're going to find them coming. I love that about God. Not only do I want you to march out against them, but I'm going to tell you where they're coming from. I want you to march out against them. They're coming through the ascent of Ziz and the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. You know, that guy makes me so sick and so mad. I could just hit him in the face. You don't have to fight that. That battle's inside you, not them. Go over there and knock them down. Does that make you better, feel better, do better? But you will not even need to fight. I'm telling you, just take your position. Stand still and watch. Take your position, stand still, and watch what God does. And watch the Lord's victory. See, when it's the Lord's victory, that's why he gets the glory. When we think it's our victory and we take all credit because we're so smart and we're all that and we got education and we got money and we got this and that, that ain't the Lord's win. And watch the Lord. Now watch this. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. So do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So he says, don't be afraid or discouraged. The battle's not yours. Anytime that we say, man, I just can't do this anymore, you're exactly right. You can't. That you've made that battle your battle. Do you get it? You get it. Okay. So take your position, stand still, and watch God do it. So they did. And here's the position they took. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. And this, I love this. Then the Levites, who are the Levites? Who's these Levite people? These Levites are the priests. These are the leaders of the church of the day, if you will. These were the godly men that God raised up to lead the people. They were Levites. And look what they did. The Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. I'm telling you, you can shout your way out of trouble. You can shout your way out of trouble. So, let me see where I'm at in these little notes here. I've said this before, but you need to understand the difference between this, the worship and praise. Worship is absolutely all about God, but worship comes through a walking out of our lifestyle. Praise is in the battle. Praise, and if it's not clear from last week's message of Moses with his hands up, and when his hands started going down and Aaron threw them back up, the battle was won through the praise of the people. But just to prove my point, I'm going to read you this last part of Scripture to show you this victory. So, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm." Believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will be saved. It's about our belief system. It's always been out our belief system, and we use the word faith, and we've got that out there, and faith is the word pistis, but it does mean belief. But we have to really believe, and it's hard to really believe that he died for me and did what he did for me. It's hard for me really to believe that as bad as a person as I am, that he really wants to win the battle for me. You get it? But it's really that simple. Believe in the Lord your God and you'll be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you'll succeed. And then here's what I love. And after consulting the people, the king appointed singers. Singers to walk ahead of the army. The army who's loaded up with firearms, whatever they were those days. The singers who had nothing in their hands, but had something in their heart. He put them ahead. So as the enemy's coming, who's going to get killed first here? The singers, right? I like that. If anyone tries to kill, they'll shoot the worship team. I'm just kidding. Hear what I'm saying, though. I put this into 3D perspective. What if you were a singer and you loved to sing, right? And you loved it. God, I just want to serve you. And I just want to sing for you, God, because I just love you so much. Okay, well, you're going to sing tomorrow. That's awesome. We're going to sing tomorrow. We're going to have a choir as the army goes out. No. You're going to walk in front. You're going to be the first one the enemy sees. Watch it. That just was fresh right there. You're going to be the first one the enemy sees. So who does you want to fight the enemy? Sing praise to God. Because it's the singer that he sees. Wow, that's not even in my notes. That's greatness. God is so good. So he said, and this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love is the word mercy that is used in the King James and other versions. So we can do mercy because we know it better. But it's literally what that means is faithful love. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. So they're out there belting out in their best Ethel Merman or whatever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love is forever and ever. Give thanks to the Lord. And they're singing it. You know, I don't know what the tune was. I'm sure we've got songs out there that do this and have the tune. See, in your mercy endureth forever. That's it. That's what they were singing. They were singing American style. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Y'all know that song? Do you know that song? Well, sing it. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. And then it goes, oh, that was it? Where's Mike at?
That's God right there, brother.
That is such a coincidence. People of every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Yeah. Wow. Maybe you should sing that song more often. Because I'm going to show you what happened. So they gave thanks to the Lord, and here's what happened. The very moment they began to sing and give praise, the very second they got out of themselves and their terrifiedness and their I can't do this anymore-ness and their I can't afford this God, and the second they got out of that and started praising God, look what happened. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir guys to start fighting among themselves. Man, you want to stir some trouble? You got people who you say are against you? I'm telling you, you praise God and they will fight each other and not you. So verse 23, the armies of Moab and Ammon and against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. The three groups of people were there and two of them ganged up against Mount Seir and killed them all. But it gets better. And after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began to attack each other. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. As these people are singing that. Lord, you are good and all havoc is being wreaked out there. It's just battle and fighting and stuff. As they sing a song and their enemies are dying. It's crazy, man. It's so good. So, this is great. Verse 24. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point, because they were fixing to have to fight these thousands, millions, people, whatever it was, 100,000. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, All they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. That's funny to me. As far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Not a single person in Israel had fired a shot or a catapult or whatever weapon that. Nobody had to kill anybody. Why? Because the battle's the Lord's, he said earlier. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. And we can shoot. We can't kill people, but we can try to wound them because they hurt me and they did. Listen, this is good stuff right here. So when Judah, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy escaped. Let's finish. So King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. Hadn't killed a soul to deserve the plunder. Hadn't done anything to deserve this plunder. The enemy killed itself. But they go out because there's a bunch of dead bodies and a bunch of cool stuff. And so King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder, and they found vast amounts of equipment that they can use to fight the enemy later. Get that in your heart. Clothing and other valuables, more than they could carry. So there was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. How cool would that be? Verse 26, on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord. Why was it the Valley of Blessing? Because there was stuff there? No, pay attention. It's got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. The people praised. That's where blessing is. Blessing isn't what you get. Blessing is in praising and being grateful to the Lord. And if that doesn't work for you, those of you who are parents, you got to know. When your child is grateful, you want to do more for them. But when they're not grateful, you want to take away what you gave them. Is that not the truth? That is the truth, man. There is nothing worse. I've said this a bunch because it's true. There's nothing worse than ingratitude. Nothing, in my opinion. So, because the people praise and thank the Lord there. So it is still to this day called the Valley of Blessing. So what have we gathered today? What have we gained in this whole thought pattern? Whatever battle you're in, it's not your battle. But you don't get it, Steve. They're coming against me. No, they're coming against God because you're one of his kids. You got it. But there's no but in this. God said it very clearly. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Take your position and sing. And watch the enemy fall at your feet. And then here's my last thought. I love how God works. Because this is how God works. Watch this. You don't have to kill anybody. He fights. And he wins the battle, but he gives us the spoils. He does all the work, but gives us the spoils. You don't believe it? Look at Jesus in his life. Look at Jesus in his life. We don't have the Old Testament battle anymore because of what Jesus did for us. He gave his life for me. He died on a cross. He was brutally murdered on a cross for me. And incorporated in that, you would think I would owe him something, but I don't. In fact, do I not owe him anything, but he gives me everything. That is crazy that he loves us like that. And if you're sitting here today and you're kind of, oh, I don't know about this, you're crazy. You're crazy. I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you how awesome Jesus is, because he is awesome. He really is. And you've been fighting your battles forever. Listen to me. You've been fighting your battles forever, and that ain't working for you. How about the first thing you do this week is pray? And there's time, listen to me, this is so important. There have been times where I have done really stupid stuff, so I don't deserve to pray. That's not what it's about. That's what the enemy wants to keep you from praising. Because the second you praise is when the enemy sees you as the enemy, rather than one of his little munchkins that he can manipulate. You hear me? So this week, you do something stupid and say, oh, God, praise him. Lord, you are good, because his mercy, holding back what you deserve, holding back prison, holding back the death sentence that you do. He holds that, but your mercy endures forever. So when you say that, that stupid thing that you did, it totally has to go away because his mercy endures forever. We don't even have any mercy. We got a little grace to give people. Grace is, you know, getting something that you don't deserve that's cool. His mercy endures forever. So I'm going to read this last point, and then Chuck's coming up, and we're going to have communion. That's how God works. You don't have to kill anybody. He fights, and he wins the battle, and then gives us the spoils. How good is our God? Amen? Come on, Chuck. You guys will, everybody stand so you can come and get your communion. There's people that are standing back there. There's some back here. There's some up
here.
There's
three in the back.
Three in the back.
Three up front.
Three
so
up
come on
front.
Up and
I'll stand here and hold some up for you.
I want to try and do something. So earlier today, if you can pay attention and grab this at the same time.
Sure.
Shannon's up here. They're praising. And what does she say? It's the word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6, the full armor of God. The only weapon you have, the offensive weapon, is what? The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Dwayne comes up here and starts talking about restoration. What is restoration? Can anybody give me a definition of restoration? To restore back to its original intent, or to restore back to its original use. Dwayne's eye was restored back to its original use. So let's look at us as we walk around this earth right now. What was our original intent or our original purpose? But to worship and to praise and to give glory to God with everything we do and everything we say and everything that we are. That is our original intent. Our original purpose is to glorify God and to bring him glory in everything we do and everything we say. And then we come to the message, and Steve is talking about prayer. Prayer. Giving it to God. And we sing songs. Lord, your mercy endures forever. God, you're good. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And we sing all these songs about battling. And then we read the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. And it really, if you go all the way back to verse 7 and work your way up to 2020, 2 Chronicles 2020. What year are we in?
2020.
So Jehoshaphat goes to his advisors, his people, and said, man, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And this was their suggestion. It's exactly what Steve just said. Let's put the singers out front, and let's go into battle how? In praise. Go into battle in praise. Guys, we need the word, and we need to allow God to restore us back to our original purpose, back to our original intent, because guess what? The enemy comes in to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was being tempted? What did the enemy use?
The word.
But the twisted and perverted word. He twisted it and he perverted it. And that's what he's doing today to every one of us. He is trying to twist everything and pervert everything and remove us from our original purpose, remove us from our original intent. We need to allow him to restore us and to get back to that originality, the purpose of why we were created. To worship. Romans 12, where's Dwayne? 12, 1 and 2? Is that it? Romans 12, 1 and 2? What does it say? Your life is your worship. It's the least you can do. And then we give him praise, and we got to have the word, we got to have prayer, and all that brings about what? Restoration. Restoration. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call to me, and I will hear you, and I will answer you. 2 7:14.
Chronicles.
Is that Chronicles?
You're talking about whether my people call
if my people who are called by my name and do what?
Humble themselves and pray.
Humble themselves and pray. Guys, seek my face. Allow God to restore you. But it begins with the word, and it begins with prayer. It begins with getting in there and getting it done. Amen. Father God, we lift up this cracker, this piece of bread. God, in all of this is to bring you glory. That is our purpose. That is our original intent. Our original purpose is to worship you and to bring you glory. God, we allow you to come in here and wash us clean and to restore us back to that original purpose, to bring you glory. God, we love you and we praise you and we take this together. We lift up this cup of juice, which represents your blood, which was shed for us. what signs that new covenant of mercy and grace, because you are good and your love does endure forever and you are worthy to be praised. God, we love you and we praise you and we take this together. Father God, thank you. We worship you. We praise you. You are beautiful. You are amazing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight, 6 p.m., Koinonia, bring some snacks, bring some food. We're going to hang out and fellowship, get some word, get some worship, go a little deeper with God, ministry. Love you guys. Be blessed. Have fun. Enjoy.